Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School with your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
If you'd like to email us and say, congratulations on second place, you silver medal guys.
And Chad P.
Once again, you're listening to the award-winning
Rock School
radio show.
You think there's one program director talking to a general manager saying, hey, that second-rate rock show down there.
Class is in.
Good afternoon, folks. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns. Sitting to my right,
Chad P.
I'm saving time because I want to say right now, for once and for all, you are listening to the award-winning Rock School radio show.
How about that?
We win awards for this stuff, ladies and gentlemen. We won the award about a month and a half ago, but we waited till now to announce it because we don't know.
We don't have any reason whatsoever.
We really don't. We wanted to get it in the newspapers and all that when the semesters got started underway once again. So, Chad, congratulations.
Congratulations to
all
you,
right.
Doc.
All right. We won, ladies and gentlemen, a national radio award. It's called the Communicator Award. And it is, what is the thing called? We actually won the
Award of Distinction.
Award of Distinction.
Also known as
second place.
Second place.
Let me translate that for you. Second place.
That's right.
We didn't win the national award. That went to a car show, I think it was.
See,
if we had just talked about cars, how many times have I said cars? If you just talk about cars.
You've been saying that.
Yeah, we could have won, but no.
We took the silver medal.
Silver medal. And that's fine. That's fine.
Okay.
It was the Russian judge. The Russian judge got us. So you're listening to the award-winning Rock School radio show. You want to see a picture of it? Go to kslu.org. Look for the Rock School chalkboard on the right. You'll see our beautiful faces. Well, his.
Mine.
And mine, too. But you'll see it. There it is, the Communicator Award. Okay, enough self-blather.
All right.
What are we talking about today?
You tell me.
This is another twofer show, but it's not the same topic on both of them. Oh. I decided to put together a Motown show.
Motown Philly?
That's right. Well, not Philly, just Motown.
Okay.
Detroit. And I thought, well, if we're going to do Motown, it wasn't just Motown that came out of Detroit. There was also a lot of great rock and roll that came out of Detroit. So today, we're going to do Motown.
Okay.
And then next week, we're going to do the rock that came out of Detroit.
Okay.
So Detroit for 2 weeks. Today, Motown. Barry Gordy Jr. Barry Gordy Jr. was the starting element of Motown. He wanted to be a songwriter or a boxer. Well, he wasn't a stunning boxer.
Nice,
he was pretty good. Yeah, but he wasn't a stunning boxer. So he decided to go on with songwriting. Good enough. Served in the Korean War, did his time, came back to Detroit, found he couldn't serve a family and support a family as a boxer, borrowed some money from his father, opened up a jazz music store, failed, went to work writing songs at night and building cars during the day. Apparently, there you go, cars. Had we just talked about cars we would have won.
Cars are the magic thing.
Gordy's sisters, he had two sisters, introduced him to the owner of what's known as the Flame Show Bar in Detroit. You probably have heard of the guy who owned the Flame Show Bar. His name was Al Green, Reverend Al Green. Al Green didn't buy the first two songs that Barry Gordy sold. A local singer that Al Green introduced Barry Gordy Jr. to, bought the first two songs. One of them was called Rite Petite. Ever heard of it?
No.
No, me either. The second song was the big hit.
What was it?
The singer's name was Jackie Wilson.
Oh, Jackie Wilson.
The first song that Barry Gordy Jr. wrote, sold, and had a hit with, even before Motown, Lonely Teardrops.
Yay!
On Rock School.
Shoo-dee-doo-bop, pop, pop. Shoo-dee-doo-bop,
Nelson belting out Barry Gordy Jr.'s first hit, the first hit that he wrote, at least, and Reet Petit. That was the other one he bought. No one's ever heard of it, and
you
away
try to
it
hit
went.
Those high notes.
Well, if you're Jackie Wilson, you can do it. A little bit of money. He made a little bit. He, Barry Gordy, made a little bit of money. The problem is he didn't write the song all by himself. He had a songwriting partner named Billy Davis. Billy Davis took half of the royalties and just wasn't enough to, again, support the family. Believe it or not, Barry Gordy had the opportunity to run another record company before he started Motown.
All right.
His sisters and Billy Davis, his songwriting partner, started a small local record company called Anna Records. Luckily, Barry Gordy said, no, I'm not going to run this because I would have to share royalties again. And I learned my lesson off of that Jackie Wilson tune.
Right.
So he walked away. Smart move. Anna Records had a couple little local hits and then went kaploink and went away. He went back to his parents. He came from a fairly affluent company in Detroit. His father ran a construction company, got another loan of $800, and started a company called Tamla Records, T-A-M-L-A. He wanted to call it Tammy Records, straight off of the Debbie Reynolds film, Tammy. Problem is, there was already a record company called Tammy. Apparently, Debbie Reynolds had an effect on some other person.
Gotcha.
So he went with Tamla Records.
Okay.
Tamla Records had a little bit of trouble getting started, and he finally said, you know what? I'm from Detroit. I really need, if I'm going to start signing artists, I need to almost play to the fact that I'm from this wonderful city.
Mm-hmm.
So he decided to take it and use it as the name of the company, Motown.
Motown.
Motor City.
Motor City.
Motor Town Motown. Detroit's nickname. Motown was born. Who was the first artist signed to this brand new Motown label?
I don't know.
Any idea?
No.
Mary Wells.
Mary Wells, my guy?
My guy. You're right. On Rock School. Mary Wells, you can start to hear the format for the Supremes starting. You've got the one woman out front and the two back there with the backing vocals. We are doing Motown today here on Rock School. It's the first of a two-for show. Motown this week. Next week, Detroit Rock. So Barry Gordy has started Motown. He's got his first big singer. Mary Wells is her name. She'll go on. She'll have a few more hits. He has a bunch of little people who are not really hitting major, but making local hits, so he's making a little bit of money.
He's got to sign somebody.
You bet. He starts signing more people, and son of a gun if he doesn't start to pull in a profit. Rather than purchasing, you know, time at studios, he decides to take his profits and start his own recording studio. Why buy time at your studio?
When I can make my own.
Right. I can buy my own studio. That way I can have all the time in the world in a studio.
That's right.
And why not live in the studio?
Okay.
That way I can put the studio downstairs. I can put my living quarters upstairs and fine. That way I can make as much money as possible.
There you go. No rent, no studio time.
And you know what?
What?
If I do that, I can actually take the house and I can give it a name and my house will actually be a billboard for my record label.
Well, how about that? What are you going to name your house?
I'm Barry Gordy here. Can you hear me being Barry Gordy?
Yes.
I'll name my house Hitsville, USA. He really did it. The house still exists. It's on West Grand Boulevard in Detroit. More and more people keep coming. See, now he's getting this reputation, Gordy is, as not only a hit maker, but a hit song writer.
So he's still writing.
Oh, yeah. And will continue to write. He'll hire writers. But he continues to hit it. All the Jackson 5 original big hits, ABC and all that, that's all Gordy.
Ah.
The first top 10 hit for the good people at Motown gets to number two. didn't eke out number one. Gets there in 1959. It's, again, penned by Berry Gordy, by a guy named Barrett Strong. You remember him?
I think so.
He actually has a few hits. They're redone by the Beatles, a bunch of groups over in the UK.
Okay.
This is his version. Goes to number two here in the U.S.
The
first
award
top
of distinction.
10 hit. The Award of Distinction gets the silver. Money, man. That's what I want. Motown, Rock School. Say that when they're talking about money, they go mean
stuff.
Green, lean green. That's where they get it from. Barrett Song's Money, That's What I Want.
That's
Barrett Strong,
stuff,
there you go. How'd you do Motown here on the award winning
right.
Rock School Radio Show? You have a question, young
I
man?
Do.
The kid
I do.
In the back, Mr. Chad P. Yes?
I am still reading the Aerosmith autobiography, which
Shoot.
Is a great read. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Now, this is the way that these guys did this one particular album I'm reading about, and I just want to know if this is how it was done at Motown. They went to cut this particular album, and they stayed at the studio, or they stayed at the place where the album was recorded for 6 months.
Oh, no.
So...
No.
So he didn't have, like, okay, you, Mr. Joe Burns, are going to come and cut your album here at Motown, and the house is also the studio, so we're going to set you up in
Put
a room.
Put you up for the night? No.
Yeah.
No,
didn't
we're
going
to... We're going to get into it. I'm following the timeline so they can get to... I want to get to all the number ones and such. In fact, we're going to play the first number one here in just a second.
Okay.
But when we get into this, you're going to see that Berry Gordy was first and foremost a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
He put out... He found a format, if you will. And all of his songs followed this format.
Okay.
This concept... And it was kind of like this concept when you're talking about marketing of something like Coca-Cola. When you crack open a Coca-Cola and you drink it, it should taste like a Coca-Cola every single solitary time.
Yeah.
So when a Motown song came out, it should sound like a Motown song every single solitary time. And movement away from that sound was just not allowed.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You weren't allowed. There's one real altered from that. It was called psychedelic. And that's when the Temptations moved away from, their cutesy sound. I ain't too proud to beg, sweet darling. And
right.
they moved into Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And he fought that. Berry Gordy fought that. And finally sort of tipped and went, okay, yes, a new, bit of music. But you'll find, when you look at the history of Motown, this guy understood that audiences like a familiar sound, and he kept creating music almost like creating a product.
Okay.
And no, he didn't.
Well, if it works, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
And we'll talk about, especially with Stevie Wonder, the concept of the Motown Review, bringing new people in. Grooming them, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had coaches that taught them how to walk, perform, dance, shake hands, speak.
Wow.
I mean, his people were groomed. I don't know how else to say it.
Mm.
When you were part of the Motown label, you acted a certain way. You dressed a certain way. You were a product of Motown.
Gotcha.
And it's very, however you feel about that, how dare you do that, or good for you, it's hard to argue with the man's success.
Well, there you go.
The ends justified the means. Now that I'm done with that little dissertation, what was the number one single, the first number one single in Motown history?
Got me.
You better shop around. Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. Rock School.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long.
That's the voice.
Boy, that's the voice. Smokey Robinson, that's the voice.
Yeah, that is the voice, but you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
You made a mistake.
That's why we took second. That's why we didn't win the entire thing. That's why we took second.
Tell them what you did.
Yeah, this is not the Smokey Robinson Shop Around was not the first number one for Motown. I have both. You can see my notes. I have them both right next to each other. Smokey Robinson's Shop Around was the first million seller. It was not the first number one. I have the first number one after the break.
We'll get to that. Now,
my
I tell
apologies.
You what, it's already funny
yes.
to listen to you admit that you made a mistake.
Well, I always admit it because if somebody knows Motown, they're going to catch me and they're going to lose their mind.
And the people cannot see this, obviously, because we're on radio, but I get to watch you realize that you made that mistake.
Eyes get nice and big.
And that's worth the gold medal right there.
That's why we took second place. Let's take a break. Then we'll come back with the real number one, Smokey Robinson, first million seller. We'll be back with the first number one for Motown on Rock School. Hey, welcome to it. First twofer here of this new semester here at Southeastern Louisiana University, this campus from which we broadcast from. Doing Motown this week. We're doing Detroit Rock next week. And I promised you when we came back, we would do the first number one hit for Motown. Do you remember in the 60s? Well, you weren't around in the 60s, but
yeah, I remember them like every yesterday.
When you look back at the 60s, there were so many groups that were the Etz.
Yes.
The something Etz, the
yes,
something
actually,
Etz, the
I
something
do.
Etz. Yeah. Well, this is no different. 1961, the Marvel Etz.
Marvel Etz.
Please, Mr. Postman, deliver de letter, de sooner de better on Rock School.
Deliver the letter.
Did you hear they put all that echo on there?
Yeah.
All that reverb? Deliver the letter.
De
sooner, de better. I went into my notes because you asked me about that. How did Gordy do it? How did he have so many hits as we talk about Motown here on Rock School?
Mm-hmm.
It says here, I'm gonna take this quote out. Quote, Gordy was a control freak and a micromanager.
Oh,
he
boy.
Saw Motown music as nothing more than a brand.
Really?
Okay, let me tell you some of the stuff that he had. Gordy employed a staff of writers. Smokey Robinson was one of his writers, Mickey Robinson, and the team of Holland, Dozier, Holland, and of course Gordy himself. That's it. Those are the guys that wrote songs.
Okay.
So by keeping a small group of people writing songs, you knew that the songs would all sound the same.
Right.
They were told not to step out of the format. Make it sound like Motown.
Okay.
He had a backup group called the Funk Brothers. Set session musicians.
The Funk Brothers?
The Funk Brothers, yes. Make it sound a certain way.
Okay.
The woman who was employed to make everybody, you know, walk a certain way, talk a certain way, shake hands a certain way, was Maxine Powell. She was an etiquette expert, taught these people poise and how to act in public. Each act was created to look a certain way.
Okay.
The best example of this was Motown's most successful female act of all time, the Primettes.
Oh.
The Primettes.
Another et.
The Primette. You don't know who the Primettes are?
No.
Florence Ballard, Mary Wilson, Diana Ross.
Oh.
Well, they changed their name.
Okay.
They're now the Supremes.
Oh!
This is Love Child on Rock School. Super, super Supremes as we do Motown on
if
Rock
you
School.
If you said the Supremes, I'd have known it. But
well,
you can't
they were
say
first
like
the Primettes. They were the Primettes to begin with. You
Paulettes.
Haven't done that Etz again, yeah.
Exactly.
See, you can tell that the Supremes also set the rule for when the lead singer is going to go. See, they're a group name, then they're somebody and the group name. And that basically, you get that for maybe one, maybe two albums, and then boom, he or she is going to jettison. They're
there
gone.
They go.
They're on their way. Welcome to the bottom of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Who is our wonderful affiliate up in Connecticut?
Well, that would be WESU 88.1 FM, Middletown, Connecticut. Hello, everyone.
I hope I'm not jinxing it, but we know for a fact a second one is coming.
Yeah, we got another one.
We just need to know exactly when the first show is.
It's coming, though.
This is not the first show they're picking up, but it's coming soon.
That's right. Soon
we would be on two radio stations, and we know of other ones that are scratching their chin going, possibly. Once again, you're listening to the award-winning
Rock School Radio Show. You think there's one program director talking to a general manager saying, hey, that second-rate rock show down there.
If you'd like to see a picture of him and me holding the award, go to the radio station website. You'll find it at KSLU.org. Look for the Rock School clipboard on the right-hand side, right on the front page, homepage.
Yep.
That's us holding the award. If you'd like to email us and say, congratulations on second place, you silver medal guys, Chad will tell you the address.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. Subject line, second place.
Second place.
That's all you gotta do.
We have for you a show on Motown this week. Next week, Detroit Rock, and Chad has a stump for me.
Yep, gonna try it. All right, so we know already that you said that rock came out of Detroit. We're going to talk about that next week.
Well, yeah. I mean, Alice Cooper, the MC5. We're going to play a bunch.
But I want to know.
Nugent, Sweaty Teddy.
I want to know if any rock came out of Motown.
You don't consider Motown rock?
I'm just saying. Did Motown produce any rock? And if they did,
yes.
You could say yes or no. But if they did, what were the labels?
Oh,
or,
I know
or
this.
A label.
I know where
label?
You looked this up. What was the rock label? What
Maybe.
Was the rock label for Moat? In fact, hold on. Where are my notes?
Oh, I figured he
where
had
are my notes?
Prepared this.
Nine. Change it to nine.
Track nine?
Change it to track nine. The name of the label is Rare Earth.
That's right.
And Rare Earth was called the label because Berry Gordy, in fact, I'm going to change my notes around. I'm going to come back and talk about the different labels for Motown. Because, hear me getting excited?
Mm-hmm.
I got this one. When Motown decided to branch out and start different formats, they even put out country on something called Melody. They also put out something called Workshop Jazz. They put out a thing called Soul, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But they got this group called Rare Earth, and we're going to play.
You got it queued up?
Yeah,
it's queued up.
Ready to go.
Rare Earth was so good, and Barry had such a good feeling about them, they literally started a rock label called Rare Earth specifically for them, and that's where Motown put out rock music a label called Rare Earth. Did I get it?
Yes, you did.
I just want to celebrate here on Rock School. There you go, Rare Earth, as I nail the stump.
Not only
right
did
here.
He have the answer, but he had a song.
And the thing is, I brought that because a lot of these songs are so short. When we do a show like this, it has a lot of these little two and a half minute songs.
Yep.
I always bring 14 songs to do a show.
That's right.
And when, because I don't like the number 13. is that goofy? When there's 13 songs, I always find one more, even if it doesn't fit.
That's okay.
But when there's so many little songs, I always bring like 17 or 18, knowing that I'm going to have to fill. And I brought that one just in case.
Yep. Unlike that time we did the show about metal music, and we only needed three songs.
That's right, because they were all 12 minutes
exactly.
long. Let me tell you some of the additional Motown labels. We've already talked about Tamla.
Yeah.
And there's Motown.
Yep.
Here's another one. Gordy label. That was the one that had the Jackson 5 on it.
Named
the Temptations.
After himself?
Yeah. The Temptations, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. VIP. This was a recording label that had the Velveteens, the Spinners. Mm-hmm. Remember the Spinners? Rubber Band Man, Rubber Band Man.
Okay.
Soul. This had Junior Walker and the All-Stars on it. Gladys mm-hmm. Knight and the Pips. By the way, do you know what a Pip is?
No, what's
the
a Pip?
Gladys Knight and the Pips?
Nope.
Now, there's a lot of, you know, Pip. It's this, it's this, it's that. A Pip, a real, if you're doing, what is a real Pip? When you look at a die, a dice, like you throw dice.
Yes.
The little
die.
Dots uh-huh. are called Pips.
Really?
That's where the term came from.
Okay.
Workshop Jazz was another label
uh-huh.
that released jazz, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Melody was country.
Yeah.
And then Rare Earth was rock. So
what happens if you're an artist and you happen to not get signed to the Gordy label, but you got signed to one of the other ones? Is that like, you know, no pun intended, but is that like getting second place, taking the second place label?
I don't think so. I think you are signed to Motown. It's simply how you were released. And I didn't get into it here, but there are also different labels overseas.
Okay.
If you go on to Wikipedia, I try not to use a ton of it, but if you go to Wikipedia and look at all of these labels, there is also the European
okay.
and the Eastern Bloc versions of these, and there are some other ones, but I think you're signed to Motown but released on all of these.
Okay.
So here's one from Gordy, Martha and the Vandellas. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Rock School. Warriors, come out and play. Yes, sir.
What was that?
Haven't you seen the movie The Warriors?
No.
Oh, if you get a chance, rent The Warriors. It's a really bad 1980s movie about this group called The Warriors, a gang called The Warriors, and they have to get from, I think, Central Park. Don't hold me to that. It might be. I think it's a zoo now that I think about it. Anyway, they got to get back to Coney Island.
Okay.
And that song, there's a radio station that's playing music that's kind of tipping off all these other gangs that want to beat up the Warriors, want to kill the Warriors. And at the end of it, that the song's one of the ones that plays. And at the end of it, this really, really wicked guy has got three bottles on his hands. And he's clinking them together, and he goes, "Warriors, come out and play." It's a lot better than I'm making it sound, but it's actually a pretty good thing. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say that you pointed out that Barry Gordy wanted everything to sound the same.
Almost so homogenizing it.
And now that we're almost getting into the final parts of the show, I can hear it. It all kind of sounds the same, and you can kind of sit back and get a nice little groove back and forth.
You
and
can
dance
see
to
the
it.
Backup singers doing those bad, you know, twirling of the hands, and
it's very recognizable. So now that if you ever hear it on a radio station, you could almost pick it up. That was produced at Motown.
Yeah, and you said earlier that the second you hear a Van Halen song, it's a Van Halen song.
Yeah, I can pull it out because of the drum.
Right.
Alex Van Halen's snare drum.
You can
hear
it.
I can pick it up.
Same thing with Motown. That's what he wanted. That's what Barry Gordy wanted. The second you hear it, it's a Motown, and it's good.
Mm-hmm.
It sounded good. Barry Gordy was known for holding Friday morning quality meetings in order to listen to all these songs that these people were writing.
Okay.
The problem was he was also known for throwing songs in the trash bin very quickly.
Really?
Yes.
They're crap.
Nothing. No longer. Here are some songs that were thrown into the trash bin, but taken back out.
Oh.
I heard it through the grapevine.
No, he trashed it?
He trashed that one. They pulled it back out. What's Going On by Marvin Gaye?
No.
That got thrown away.
Oh,
and got pulled back out.
Who pulled it back out?
Marvin Gaye.
Oh.
Pulled it back out.
Take my song.
That's right. And finally, the one we're going to play.
Which one?
Temptations. Ain't Too Proud to Beg.
Barry?
He didn't like it.
What
pulled
is going
it right.
On?
And the Temptations. Actually, that one was written by, I think, Holler Dozier Holler. Pulled it right back out and said, no, let us work on this. And this thing's a hit. And it was. Went to number one. Temptations. Rock and roll on Rock School.
Sympathy, I don't mind. Cause you mean that much to me. If you out there and you know it, please don't leave me, girl. Ain't you proud to please, baby, baby? Please don't leave me, girl. Now I heard a crying man is half a man.
Chad's got a trash can in his hand. You looking for another hit?
Yeah, I threw something on a napkin in here a while ago. Probably a missing hit.
What has Gordy thrown away?
Right.
We're doing Motown this week. We're doing Detroit Rock next week. We got to take a break. We're way over time. When I get back, I'm going to tell you what is my favorite Motown song and easily one of my favorite Motown singers. When we talked about the Rock and Roll Heaven show,
oh, yeah.
I had her as my backup singer, one of my backup singers in the main band. It's a heartbreaking story, how talented she was and how she passed away so early. We'll be back to tell you who this is in just a minute on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about Motown this week. We're going to do Detroit Rock next week. And I decided to take one and just do my favorite Motown song.
All right.
You know, a lot of people, you say, what's your favorite song? And they always say, oh, I like this. I can't pick a favorite. See, I can.
Okay.
I always can. I like picking favorite songs and just sticking behind them. My favorite comes from 1968. It was on the Tamla label, and it was Marvin Gaye and Tammy Terrell's Ain't Nothing But the Real Thing.
I was trying to
like
figure out,
because
you
it.
Said it was the female backup singer on your Rock and Roll Heaven.
Yeah, Tammy
and the
Terrell.
The only one I could remember was Mama Cass Elliott.
Yeah, no,
and
she,
I know
wasn't,
she wasn't on Motown.
She wasn't signed to Motown.
No.
This song is by Ashford and Simpson, Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing. The woman I'm talking about, Tammy Terrell, she was born Thomasina Winifred Montgomery in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The story was she died at 24. Here's what happened. A lot of people believed she and Marvin Gaye had an affair. It never happened. In fact, her husband, Tammy Terrell's husband, was her manager and came on tour with them.
Okay.
So no monkey business was going on. But in Virginia, she was performing live. She collapsed into Marvin Gaye's arms on stage.
Wow.
While they're performing, boom, went down like, you know, just boom. She was found to have a brain tumor. And it was to have killed her then and there. She fought back and actually was able to perform again for about a year. And then, again, boom, it just took her out a little while later. She died at 24. And Marvin Gaye's album, What's Going On?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say, you know, my, the ecology, that kind of stuff. The entire album is said to largely be a reaction to her death.
Wow.
So she had a wonderful and also heartbreaking effect upon the man. So it is my favorite Motown song, Marvin Gaye, Tammy Terrell. Ain't Nothing Like the Real Thing, Rock School. There's also an urban rumor that Simpson was actually singing on that, and it wasn't Terrell. Rungo.
Okay.
That was Tammy Terrell singing on that. Hey, last break.
Yep.
Last break here on the Motown show. Hopefully we gave you a good history of it, and so you got a general idea where Motown came from. Barry Gordy.
Yep.
Is he still doing Motown? No. No, Gordy moved the label to Los Angeles and basically got tired of doing music alone and wanted to expand into movies. Do you remember Lady Sings the Blues? It was a movie. It was a biopic about Billie Holiday.
Mm-mm.
Diana Ross was in it.
Mm.
Do you remember The Wiz?
No.
The Wiz was a takeoff with Diana Ross and Michael Jackson on The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Those were both put out by Barry Gordy. when he moved the label out to Los Angeles, he started signing newer people. I know you've heard of these people, Rick James.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lionel Richie.
Yep.
The problem is when he moved out to Los Angeles, he began to lose that homogenized what have you, and the label started losing literally millions per year.
Wow.
The moment the label started to lose money, other labels began to smell blood in the water, and MCA showed up and gave him, get this,
what?
$61 million. An $800 investment returned $61 million.
Pretty good.
Not bad. Something tells me Barry Gordy's not having any trouble meeting the cable bill at the end of the month.
Not at all.
So that wraps it up. The Motown Show. When we come back next week, you're going to hear Detroit rock. And there's some heavy, heavy, great stuff out of Detroit. My name is Joe Burns.
I'm Chad B.
We are the hosts of the award-winning...
Second place.
The Silver, which ain't bad at all, Rock School Radio Show. Class is dismissed.